It. Let's do it, Kaboom Boom. Welcome in to the latest episode of Kabali and Mac. We are live on YouTube at Kabali and Mac. We are live on Twitter, on X. Sorry, I keep doing that, on X. And do you think we should get a dedicated X account for the Kabali and Mac show, Mark?
Yeah, so we can
So it's not just going out on my Twitter, right?
Yeah, we can rip on people and they won't even know if it's me or you. That's the best kind, right?
That's true. Yeah.
We can beg for sponsors, not realize we could say it's some our business manager.
That's a good idea. That's a real good idea. Then we're not responsible for anything.
No, I'm not paying attention.
Vague thing that is Kabali and Mac. We're on Instagram today too. I got us going live on Instagram as well.
Look at you and this computer Facebook stuff.
I know. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but despite all these gray hairs, Mark, I'm learning. I'm learning a lot.
I was thinking about coloring my hair, but I don't think that would work.
No, it's too late. Once you get as much gray as we have, you can't go back.
You have to be on it early.
Yeah. If you'd like to sponsor Kabali and Mac, by all means, reach out to either one of us. This is where we would tell you right off the top about our wonderful title sponsors. As soon as we secure a wonderful title sponsor, and that will happen very soon, hopefully before the beginning of February. We got a big week of shows next week, Kaboom, leading up to the Royal Rumble. It'll be the week after the conference championships. I think we've secured a legendary guest for Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The people will be very excited about the possibility of Justin Labar coming on from Busted Open Radio.
He is a legend. He's forgot more about wrestling than we'll ever know.
Absolutely. That guy watches wrestling 8 days a week. He literally, like, I'll be honest, like, and wrestling fans can make fun of me if they want, because I don't care. I barely have time to watch Raw every week. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got too much going on. So I'll get to SmackDown when I get to it. Tiffy time. AEW and TNA and all that stuff, I just don't have time. And I don't even have time for NXT, man.
You know what's good about Netflix on Raw and Netflix right now that I've noticed? If you don't watch it live, the next day, they cut out all the commercials. So a now 2 hour and 40 minute show turns into like a 2 hour and 10 minute show.
Really? I watched it late Monday night after the national championship game was over. And I did have all the commercials in it still. So yeah, I don't know.
I rewatched it the next day for my job number 36. And and I'm like, hey, there's all the commercials are gone. I'm liking this.
That's good. The lack of commercials is a good thing. So we got a lot to talk about today. Oh, by the way, it is Myron Cope. It would be Myron Cope's birthday. Well, it's still his birthday. He would have turned 93 today. Yoy and double yoy there, Kabooms.
I got a couple of Myron Cope stories from my early days.
Any you can actually tell?
Well, I used to ride the team plane back in for a decade. Yeah. And one of my first years, maybe second year, I had the assigned seat next to Myron Cope.
Wow.
And Myron Cope looks at me and goes, hey, Sonny, get that stewardess. I'm like, okay. Get me a glass of ice. Okay, and I gave him a glass of ice. I said, you want water or Coke? No, I'm fine. He reaches into the duffel bag, brings out, pulls out a freaking flask.
There you go. Well lubricated.
I'm like, all right, Myron. There's another one where his pants fell down in the middle of the plane, but I won't bring that up.
By accident?
Yeah, he reached up to get his bag out of the top of the – I was like in the last seat with him. And then up and got his bag out and his pants went whoop straight down. I was like, oh, did you see that? You know, I'm a Cubs Steelers reporter now. First year or two, I'm like, oh my goodness, Myron Cope's pants just fell down. I looked around. Anybody looking? Nobody paying attention. I'm like,
Think about it. That was towards the tail end of his career. I mean, imagine what he was like in his heyday, man. Like him and Jack Fleming out on the road during the 70s. Could you imagine what that was like?
I mean, Hillgrove is one of the best, if not the best storytellers I've ever heard, I've ever run across in my life.
Yeah.
Get him rolling on some Cope stories. And this is not, you know, where they say, where they put it on the internet, Not suitable for TV. Not suitable.
NSFW, Mark. Well, NSFW.
NSFW K&M podcast or whatever you want to call it. So I'll leave it at that.
Oh, man. So did you ever get your rock salt for your driveway that you were crying about the other day, you big baby?
Absolutely not. Even worse than that, I went to start the car yesterday and the damn battery was dead.
How does that happen?
It was like negative 130 degrees. It just sucks the life out of my battery. So I did the old, I do know how to jump the car, you know.
You got it all squared away?
You know if you're supposed to jumper cable anymore, but I don't really care.
That worked out cars. Well. When your car blows up like an old cyber truck and it's just flaming in your driveway, we'll know exactly where to drop the bag of rock salt off at.
There was a little bit of a odor coming from the engine when I was jumping in. I was like, I better get these jumper cables off here as quick as possible.
Jesus, you're a disaster.
It's always something.
$10. I'll bring a bag of rock salt over. $10. I'll drop it in your driveway. It's going to cost twice as much at Home Depot or Lowe's right now.
I mean, I can't find it anywhere, so that's the problem. And I don't really feel like going out and going to seven different stores to look for rock salt. If you run across it, you grab it. But I had to go search for it the other day, and it was just – I ended up buying, like, pool salt for your hot tub, and that works about as good as nothing.
Yeah, because it's not meant to melt snow and ice.
Well, they were marketing like it was supposed to, and I mean, get out of here. I want some of that old school rock salt, dirty ass, big nugget stuff.
Yeah. No, like the stuff the rest of the world has on their driveway because they were prepared for winter.
Yeah, they use those little pellets and sometimes stuff. It's, you know, very good for the pet's feet.
Pet safe. Yeah. Pet friendly. Yeah. Oh, that's important.
I don't have a pet, so I don't have to be friendly to it.
Okay, fine. What are you getting yelled at about this morning? I guess you said, before we get to your 6-point off-season plan, which I thought was pretty good, before we get to the Rooney family's desire to be mired in mediocrity, before we get to Russ on Pat's show yesterday, before we get to a million other things, including Pat Narduzzi, I guess, getting mad at kids for what they write on receipts at coffee shops or whatever. what do you get? You said coaching trees don't matter. Right. And now you're getting absolutely skewered for that.
Well, I don't pay attention to what I read on Twitter, but I was actually informed via text message that one Adam Crowley was bashing me this morning.
I'm like, man, coming after Kaboom.
What are you doing here? So I don't know what the crux of his argument was against them. Short was Tomlin sucks and blah, blah, blah. To me, coaching trees are just—it's just dumb to me. First of all, I don't even know where the tree starts at for they even have a legitimate argument. I know Andrew Filippone put out there and said, "Well, already Dan Campbell got two guys on the coaching tree." Really? So we're counting Aaron Glenn, who first started coaching in the NFL in 2014 under Mike Pettine, is considered Dan Campbell's protege, and Ben Johnson, who first started in Miami with Joe Philbin, is it his or is it Campbell's? Or it's just so convoluted. I think it's just an argument because Tomlin doesn't have any that people just complain about it. To me,
well, look, I think it's a good argument.
Tomlin, dumb.
I think it's a good argument for people who have like an encyclopedic knowledge of where people have coached and who they've coached under to show how much they know. And that's great for people like Pony, who has, you know, a photographic memory and can remember all the places all the coaches have been. I also think it is actually a good sign if your assistants are being desired by other teams. Like, it's not a bad sign. I think it's less good if people are never interested in hiring your assistants. It's not the end all be all, but I think it can be a sign of some sort, right?
You have to be a younger guy on a team that wins, right? That's considered now since what was that when Dick LeBeau was here? Mm-hmm. Was that a terrible hire? Why? Just because he didn't get saw that for somebody else as a head coaching job or the Todd Haley's or the Bruce Arians? I mean, a lot of it has to do with – what about a guy like Lou Anamorello, whatever his name is? Two years ago, he was considered one of the hot commodities. Now he's just a bum.
Well, because his defense sucked this year.
Well, but 2 years ago, he was like the guy to get, right?
Yeah, Jesse Bates will do a lot of that.
Yes. To me, you have a philosophy. And right, wrong, and different. Tomlin likes the more veteran, older gentlemen rather than the young guys. And those guys aren't going to be sought after for head coaching jobs regardless how you do it. You can say that that's the wrong way to go, but it doesn't mean it might not be the way other teams do about it. That's the way he goes about it.
I think for an organization that seems to be mired in, like I used the word mediocrity before, that seems to be mired in the mud and can't really get past the breaking point over the last 8 to 10 to 15 years that everybody thinks they should be worthy of. I think bringing in new, fresh ideas and bringing in some of those young assistants that may end up being sought after down the line, you could do worse than that, certainly. And you could keep hiring the same old guys over and over, or not changing anything at all, and bringing back Terrell Austin and Artie Smith, and you know, before that it was Canada, before that it was Fichtner. Like, you can be overcommitted to assistants too, and I think that's why some people make it a story and make it a thread with Mike Tomlin, because he never seemingly has that red hot young assistant who comes in and revolutionizes things. It's the same old all the time.
But how about Grady Brown? Grady Brown was up for a D coordinator spot, didn't get it this year, so Where we stand on that? He's just not a good coach now because he didn't get a defensive coordinator spot. How about if he goes somewhere else? I mean, how about if he just stays as a very, very good, you know, defensive back coach? All of a sudden, he's not hiring the right guys. This is a guy who's an up-and-coming young guy that people want. Say if he goes straight from secondary coach to somewhere else, even D coordinator, does that make him part of the tree?
Yeah, I mean, if Grady Brown moves on to become a D coordinator somewhere and has success as a D coordinator, then yeah, certainly. That's a guy that you go back and you look through his resume and you go, oh, I see. He really started. He really got going under Mike Tomlin.
So Ben Johnson is a Joe Philbin tree.
Was Ben Johnson effective when he was?
He was a product of circumstances. They get rid of Philbin, so the entire staff goes, right?
Look, I think people make more out of it than needs to be made out of it, but I don't think you can totally write it off. I think to do that is not, at least with an organization that seems to be stuck, like I said, in the same old routine. If they don't have occasionally a young assistant who everybody's pointing at saying, "Ooh, that guy might be good for the next level," then I think that's not a great sign. It might not be as terrible as some people want to make it out to be, but it's not great either.
Is Dom Capers a disciple of Bill Cowher?
Who did he work for before Cowher?
I don't even remember. He was in the league for 20 years, I think, before that.
He was a secondary coach for a long time. He made the leap as a D coordinator under Cowher, right?
They lost 5 games in a row to end this season, not because he doesn't have a coaching staff tree.
Like I said, I think people make too much out of it. I would agree. That was not the biggest issue. But when you're analyzing an organization from top to bottom, talking about all the things they need to look at, I think it's something worth keeping an eye on that he never seemingly has, like I said, the young, hot assistant who's making that leap to the next level.
I don't buy the he doesn't want to hire somebody who might be better than him and take his job.
I mean, we can agree that he has his fingers in the pie, so to speak, right? Like, he is
too much.
Heavily involved, and that pivots us toward the Mark Caballi 6-point plan that could turn the Steelers back into contenders that you wrote for the Pat McAfee show just this morning, late last night. I want to go through point by point, but not drag it out too long. Number one, and this is important because it ties back on Pat's guest yesterday, pick the right quarterback, not the best one. Russell Wilson was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday. Sounded like a guy who's very excited at the prospect of coming back to the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Understandably so. He had a little bit the first half of the season, or I guess the middle of the season, those 7 games where they went 6-1 with him at quarterback, a little bit of a career renaissance for him. Didn't turn out that way down the stretch, but I can understand why maybe Russell Wilson wants to be back. And again, we come back to embracing the status quo to a certain extent. Mike Tomlin would love to see something that's a known quantity, right? Russell Wilson at quarterback rather than maybe going in on Justin Fields and saying, okay, we're not quite sure what that looks like over the course of an entire season, but we knew what it looked like over six games, and we know there's a much higher ceiling there.
No, I, you know, I'm going to throw this back on you real quick. That was a fascinating interview Russell Wilson did on Pat's show. Very fascinating, not because of what he said. I want to know where you come down on this. Why now? And why are you going out there and saying, absolutely, I want to retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler and when your contract is expiring in two months now?
Probably because he listens to this show and he knows what you said the other day, which is the Steelers got to make a decision on this quick. And you wrote the same thing this morning. They got to figure it out now before either one or both of these guys, each of these guys, hit free agency. Like, you got to lock one of them up and make that decision. And Russ knows they have to make that decision. So why not be the first one out there saying, oh, I'd love to be back. I love the organization. This is the best year of my career. Da, 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 da.
He's a PR genius or hires PR genius. To think he's going to go on that show and get the support of the Steelers Nation by saying, I want to retire a Steeler.
I mean, it's going to
be bad advice right there.
Well, no. It's better than ignoring everything and letting it just sit and letting people stew in the performance of the final month of the season. He gets right back out there before the conference championship games, even. Like, it's not even, the body's still warm. And Russ gets back out there and says, Pat, man, you guys know more than anybody how great Pittsburgh and their fans are. And he says that because he wants Steeler fans to go, yeah, he likes it here. And you know what? He's a good dude.
Did you see any comments? Did you see the comments? I like you, Russ, but I don't want you anymore.
That was the head. Okay. I mean, so right? here's the question then. Are the Steelers going to feel that way? Russ, that's great. You're a veteran. You're a leader. We get it. All that kind of stuff. But it wasn't good enough.
It could be. I don't know what they're thinking right now. I would assume that they're thinking. I mean, he brought up, okay, there's talks. I mean, that means nothing to me. Of course, they've touched base because they got to cover all their bases at this point right now. Last thing you want to do is Justin tells you, I'm not coming back, or whoever's not coming back. Then all of a sudden, oh, shoot, we better go talk to Russell right now. So they have to be filling around right there. So I don't take much out of it at all. What do they do? I've mentioned it before. I think I liken it to a lottery ticket. Justin Fields is your lottery ticket. It might only cost you $2 for a scratchy lottery ticket, but you know what? You could win $500 right there, man. If you scratch it, if you do it well with, and when you have a quarterback position that you're not going to get free agency, you're not bad enough to draft in the top five.
Right.
You're going to need some luck, and he's your lottery ticket. That you might just say, why did I just spend $5 on this stupid groundhog scratchy ticket?
It's the second most famous groundhog in Pennsylvania.
I want $500, man. This is great.
Yeah, and look, how many scratch offs do you buy a week? That was like a go to analogy for you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I walk by the Giant Eagle and I just get the urge.
Giant Eagles,
and I get one, and I. The most I ever won was like $100 one time. So that's big time for me.
So I totally understand the lottery ticket analogy, and I 100% agree with you. Like, I think Fields is the move for next year because of all those reasons you just outlined. I also think that they are, if you sat Mike Tomlin down today and said, Mike, you got to pick your quarterback for next year right now between those two, who's it going to be? You know, he goes with the known quantity. You know, he goes the safe route. You know he goes with Russ.
I don't know if I know that.
Come on.
I mean, there's a lot of other things you have to deal with right there. I mean, obviously, number one is money, right? If he wants...
Well, that's the one thing Russ hasn't helped himself with, right? Because he's sort of positioned himself now as, I'd love to be back in Pittsburgh. Okay, well, here, take less than market value.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe money doesn't matter to him. I mean, he has made
$60 million in the last 2 years.
Well, he's made his career earnings is like $320 million.
Yeah, I think
plus,
he's good.
I mean, how many, you know, everything else. Plus he has a pretty successful wife.
Yeah,
so I don't know. Right. I mean, but hey, you always want more money, right? There's no such thing as too much money unless you're like Elon, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he doesn't care about the money. Maybe he thinks that he's not going to get much fillers on the outside. I just found it very, very interesting, the timing of the interview and him coming out and basically screwing his own
his leverage. Yeah.
That's what it came. I mean, what he said.
I think he knows that he's better off in a place where, like, I think Russ is seeking the safety and the comfort. We will not seek comfort. He's seeking the safety and the comfort of what he knows in Pittsburgh now too, after a year. And he knows how Michael will handle him. And he knows the guys in the offense. That's why he's talking them up, Pickens and Freiermuth and Austin. He knows what to expect here. So he'd much rather be here than have to go to yet another place at the tail end of his career, learn another new city, learn another new batch of coaches and players. So
I'm not totally against Russ coming about whatsoever.
I was going to say, you were Mr. Wilson the entire second half of the year.
I'm a Mr. Wilson for last year. Now, if you think that you need two pieces to become a 12-win team and a playoff team, then yes, you bring Russell back. But does any of us truly believe you need a one or two pieces and this team's going to be totally different? No. I mean, you're going to have to hit a home run in the offseason and a number of different areas to even consider that, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's roll through the rest of the Cabale six-point plan, because quarterback is the biggest one at number one. Number two, add to the wide receiver room. Don't subtract from it, you say.
Keeping Pickens, man. I'm waffling here a little bit.
See, I don't have a problem keeping George Pickens if you bring somebody in who can work side by side with him and exert, I said this last week, a little veteran influence, maybe get him to calm down just a little bit, draw some coverage away from his side of the field, get him some more open routes. Like, you bring in and you keep mentioning T. Higgins. We all agree that's probably a little bit of a pipe dream, but you bring in like a Chris Godwin or to a lesser extent, like an Amari Cooper, right? Like, if DeAndre Hopkins wants another 1 year deal, like, you bring in one of those cats who not only draws some coverage away from George's side of the field, but can also kind of act a little mentorish. Keen then mud. I got no problem at all doing that. And then maybe you draft a receiver as well. You know, now all of a sudden you accelerate real quick. If all of a sudden you look up in the spring and your wide receiver room is Pickens, Amari Cooper, Emeka Egbuka, Calvin Austin III, and Roman Wilson. Like, that's a nice receivers room.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But I think you're a little bit misguided if you think that a veteran's going to come in and have any effect on George Pickens. The only way anybody has an effect on George Pickens is if they can pull double coverage away from him, right? And he gets more balls. He's not going to listen to anybody, in my opinion, regardless of who it is. I mean, you mentioned Amari Cooper. I would be very hesitant right now with him, considering how he was non-existent once he went to Buffalo. But a guy like Keenan Allen is way past his prime.
Yeah.
But, man, I think he would look good in the Steelers uniform. If you add a guy like that, yes, you keep George around. The only way I think you get rid of George is if you go get T. Higgins, Davante Adams. Other than that, I think you keep him.
I tend to lean more towards like the happy medium there for me is a guy like Godwin, who like Godwin's 29 next month, I think, and would be there to work with Pickens, as in they're on the field at the same time. But then also, if Pickens decides to continue to be a malcontent, then you can cast George aside, and Godwin's still got a few good years left.
You just like him because he went to Penn State.
That helps too, but that's not the end all be all.
But he's coming off an ankle injury. But I thought he could have came back. They were potentially in the playoffs, so that should be fine with him. He's come back from injuries as well. Yeah. It should drive down the price a little bit. Maybe he wants to come back to the good old state of PA. Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't kick him out.
Market value on him at Spout Track is like 22.5 a year though, so it's not cheap.
What, Godwin?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So if you're going to spend that much, why not go after T. Higgins, right?
T. Higgins doesn't want to come here. That's probably why.
Yeah, it might have something to do with it. Got to fix Broderick Jones. That's point number three for your Steelers offseason. I do like the fact that I don't think they have to draft on the offensive line at all, right? Like, I think they have the players in place. It's now just about getting the most out of them. Because, like, when you, like you said in this piece, like, you get, when somebody trades up to draft you at 14, I think it's just a maturity issue with Broderick, but you better wise up and mature real quick.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been number one on my list. I mean, I could have easily went there. I think he's the difference maker in this. Obviously, it's quarterback, right? I mean, I'm not naive to that fact, but yeah. He's up there at number two. I mean, everything you've seen from Tonhu, his makeup, his ability, what we saw in his brief amount in preseason, he looks like a guy that's not going to be take long to get to be a very good player. And we already talked about the other guys. Frazier, McCormick look like they're ready to go. Sayamalu still has some stuff left in him. He's valuable, I think. So you got to have the Broderick Jones be the guy that you drafted. You cannot have a 14th overall pick, make mistakes, and continue to be, as the kids say, mid. See, he might not even be mid. What's one step below mid?
Subpar. I don't know.
What's Riz mean?
Riz is when you got game.
Oh, I guess that's a different type of Riz.
Yeah, that's totally different.
So, they need to fix him. I don't know how you fix him. And that's the only way that I think maybe Pat Meyer, you can – it's not his fault with Broderick Jones. But a different voice might help Broderick Jones in this aspect.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. No. I, like I said, it's not the personnel. Like, if you go Broderick with his mind right at left tackle and all the way across, the rest of your line is Sayamalu, West Virginia in the middle,
Frazier.
Thank you. And then on the right side, you've got Faltanu healthy at right tackle, and you got McCormick at right guard. Like, I like those pieces. It's just about getting them all to work in concert and not take dumb penalties as they did a lot.
Spencer Anderson and Ryan McCollum, I mean, for what they are, they filled in nicely when they had to. So, I mean, depth wise shouldn't be that much of an issue. Sure, you want to add somebody else wherever it's come from,
but it's not a priority. Like, that's not one of those things you got to worry about in free agency. You don't have to worry about it at the first 2 days of the draft. Finally, it feels like they've got some decent personnel in place.
Well, they've used enough draft capital on them.
They had to after they ignored it for years. Number 4 point on the Mark Cabali 6 point offseason plan for the Steelers. Make the Steelers great again. Hit free agency hard.
Yeah.
So here's we talked about the wide receivers already. Higgins, Godwin, both expensive. Cooper, Hopkins, Allen, less so, and all older as well, all in their 30s. I don't have a problem with adding any of those guys. I think Omar has shown over the first couple of years of free agency that he's coordinated, that he's much more likely to go the Cooper, Hopkins, Allen route and get a dude who isn't a big ticket item to just kind of plug a hole and know that he doesn't have to go wide receiver on the first day if he doesn't want to.
I really trust Omar in this time of year. I think he's very good at maybe not identifying. Obviously, it's a group of effort of identifying the players you want, if it's from Weidel, Tomlin, scouting staff or whatever. But being able to go out there and convince the guy to sign him for a decent amount of money to not kill your salary cap, at least initially in that first year. I mean, I think he does a fantastic job. I think he does a fantastic job looking at the trade market as well. I mean, besides last year in Ayuk, but that was a one-off, you know, in my opinion. I think they need a big-ticket guy. I mean.
So is it a wide receiver or is it on the defensive side? Because there's not a lot in free agency on the defensive side that fits what they need.
Yeah, that's the problem. You would love to say cornerback, but cornerbacks, if you're going to get a good one, I haven't even looked, honestly, at the free agency.
So I'll throw some names out.
And normally, if they're out there, they're not anything worth a crap.
So DJ Reed, last deal. Yeah, I mean, smaller, but I mean, he's probably looking at like 10 mil a year, I would guess. Charvarius Ward turns 30 in May, coming off a down year. Everyone in San Francisco had a down year this year. You're probably looking more like 12 or 13 a year for multiple years. Byron Murphy, probably more like $10 million a year guy, and he's only 27. This is where we get to, okay, now we're filling out the corner position to where we feel confident in the nickel. If it's Porter and one of these guys, Carlton Davis is, I think his market value is like 3x13 or something like that, and he's 28 years old. So there are corners out there that I think would look good alongside Porter. And okay, the Dante Jackson thing is out the window, maybe if you sign somebody else, and then you let Trice compete with Beanie or whoever else for the nickel.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to say running back until you look at the running back free agent market, and you're like,
nothing there.
No, there is nothing there.
Aaron Jones is the one exception to that. Jones,
he's 30, right? 31, maybe.
30 this year. But if you sign him for like a 2-year, not even a 1-year deal, he was on a 1-year deal this year at $5.5 million. Like that's the number that I mentioned last week when we were talking about, well, is there any way Najee could come back? No, Najee's probably going to go off somewhere else and get $8 or $9 million a year. If you could get somebody like Aaron Jones to come in and be a 1A to Warren's 1B, or, you know, more of a 50-50 split at $5.5 million a year, he looked pretty good for the Vikings this year.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I saw somebody link him to Cincinnati. That doesn't make any sense to me. With what was Jabroni's name? Chase, whatever his name was this year. Whatever. I'm looking at more defensive line. Maybe I still like the BJ Hills, the DJ Jones guys like that. The bigger guys, maybe not a ton of money, you know, 10, 12 a year, 13 a year, a guy like that. But if you're going to hit big, the only place where you're going to hit big at as in spending money, getting a big guy, would be the receiver position.
Right.
I would have to go by default, go there.
So they have the cap space. What did you say it is? Is they're going to end up having like 40 million?
It all depends on what they have with, you know, who they cut. If they restructure Highsmith, Boswell, whoever up for restructure, how much they pay Watt, you know, how much they pay their quarterback. So it fluctuates, but it's around that spot.
But I guess my point is that's enough to go out and get two or three quality free agents and not like.
Honestly, Mac, that's what they've been doing under Omar, about two or three, three or four a year of solid, solid guys.
Okay. I mean, 0.5 on the Kabali plan, the Kabali six pack plan to fix the Steelers in one off.
Should we do this? Oh, that's wrong, Cook. My fault.
Was that Cook?
No, I'm talking about don't they do the six pack?
Oh, the six pack noise. Yeah,
that's just still a Sharky gimmick.
I think you just did. We shouldn't do that. We could start singing like him too. Allow the coaches to coach. You know this isn't going to happen though, right? No. Like no one's walking into Mike Tomlin's office and saying, Mike, stay out of the game plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pipe dream, right? It's a wish, you know, wish upon a star a little bit, right? I mean, the only way it's going to happen is if he consciously does it himself, which we know is not going to happen. So as the great Bill Carr once say, it's a mute point. It needs to happen, but it's not going to happen.
Mute point. So, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if him being directly involved in things down the stretch was the problem. I would tend to put it more on the player's execution. But, like, when you go into that Cincinnati game, the final week of the year, after you put up 40 points on him.
Didn't that stick in your head, man, what he said there? It's like,
and
I want to run the ball? What?
Yeah. What is that? So I do think this is why you need to have really strong coordinators who don't feel beholden to the head coach more than they should, who look at it and say, no, Mike, all due respect, but like, this is the way I want to do it.
But and I, Who's out there is going to say that to the 18-year veteran that has 180 wins and
I'm going to climb back up your coaching tree, BS. The young hotshot assistant who believes in his system. That's who.
Nah, he's going to tell him, sit down, kid. I mean, there's no way. I don't know. I don't know any assistant coach who would feel comfortable to do that.
Well, honestly,
in this situation with Cowher, with Tomlin, and honestly, who's going to say it?
It's certainly not going to be Terrell Austin, who probably feels lucky to have a job going into next season if he has one. It's certainly not going to be Artie Smith, who's interviewing for head coaching jobs everywhere but not getting called back and just happy to have a gig to pay the rent on top of the FedEx money.
Carl Dunbar, to me, comes across as a guy who would be like, yo, Mike, nah.
But that's it. This is why people talk about the assistants under him, Mark. And this is where I will get on board with the question of, does he hire the right kind of people?
No, I'm not going that far with the assistants. This is where I say maybe that's the problem with having a guy here for 18 years.
Okay.
There's nobody going to challenge him.
But then the guy who's been here for 18 years needs to know well enough that when his stuff isn't working, he needs to switch it up. I think we still haven't reached that point of realization 8 years since the last playoff win. Somehow we still haven't gotten there.
I'm saying you either have the owner tell you, which he's not going to, the head coach feel the need that this needs to switch up where it doesn't feel, which he's not going to do. Why would you give up power? Who in their right mind gives up power in any walk of life?
Which brings us back to, point six you had was stay healthy. All the soft tissue injuries, the new training staff that maybe.
That was maybe a polite way of saying maybe you should move on from this.
Did they just beat the hell out of guys this year? Is that what happened?
Dude, they are so advanced in the way they determine injuries, come back from injuries right now compared to what they were last year or 2 years ago. Did you think that this would not happen? And it just does. I mean, their head strength and conditioning. I'm not even going to say it's just him. The whole staff of trainers, not doctors, trainers and strength and conditioning is new. They've added people. The main guy coached at Boston College and Ohio State was, fairly well known for his work in those communities. Right. The assistant guy came from the Jets, has been around for 8 or 9 years. But I mean, you cannot continuously have a dozen soft tissue injuries and can think that you're going to be able to be competitive week in and week out. They either have to fix that or find somebody else who goes about it a different way. I think that's probably low key very important, because they're probably just lucky that it didn't happen to, I didn't even say that because, Russell got hurt, Fields got hurt.
Yeah, important people got hurt. Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
So, like it was practice squad guys.
Which is strange because, like I said, they're so advanced now where they were, it just didn't work or didn't work this year. Maybe they need to tweak something, but something has to change.
I just got a notice that there was the feed kicked out for a second on X. So,
oh no,
tap back in.
I did say Elon. Maybe that
you was... did. You talked crap on Elon, and so
I said everybody cares about money except maybe Elon.
Okay. Anyway, we're back up. This would be the part where we would stop for just a second and tell you about another wonderful sponsor. If you want to be one, by all means, reach out to either one of us here on Cabali and Mac. You mentioned ownership not walking into Tomlin's office and doing anything about this. The big story yesterday was Jim Rooney, one of the Rooney brothers, Dan Rooney's son, Art Rooney II's brother, going on the Ross Tucker podcast and saying the reality is we outperform the NFL mean at a greater rate than just about any team for the last 25 years. That's not wrong, but it's also not what people want to hear. Like,
who else didn't want to hear that?
Who?
Art.
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, no, but here's the thing. Like, Art thinks that same way, I'm pretty sure. He just wouldn't actually say that. right? He knows.
The first guy who talked publicly, organizationally, was the minority owner of the brother hawking his book. You think Art was happy about this? You think he said, go ahead there, Jim, knock yourself out. Say what you want to say. No, absolutely not. When Art found this out, I can guarantee he's probably like, oh, goodness, what are you doing, Jim?
But this is indicative of the way of thinking, I think. Like, again, Art would never say this in public, but it's exact. He's thinking the exact same thing. And it's this idea of, well, we've been so successful for so long that, you know, we're going to continue to stay the course. I mean, at what point, eventually, you risk becoming the Cowboys. Now, granted, they've got a batshit owner who has a lot more to do with why they are the way they are than the Steelers have anything. They don't have anything like that. But, I mean, like, eventually you become irrelevant to the championship conversation if you're not in it more often than every 10 to 15 years. And that's what it's been now since they were last in a Super Bowl.
I agree with you, but I'm just very hesitant of where the message came from because I don't believe that Jim Rooney has much to do with the organization whatsoever. So I understand what he said, and he has that Rooney last name, but I find it hard for me right now to say this is Art's feelings as well because it comes from a guy named Rooney.
I don't know. I gotta think if Art didn't think the same way, we would have seen changes. We would have. Over the last 5 years, if not this year, finally, the straw would have broken the camel's back and we would have seen some significant changes. Instead, it's the same old stay the course. It's the same old comfort. That. So I have to believe that it is indicative of the way they're thinking.
I just think it's a leap of faith saying that Jim Rooney's speaking for the organization.
For the entire organization? Yeah, sure, because I'm more than willing to believe, Mark, that there are lots of people down at 3400 South Water who are fed up and tired of losing in the playoffs every year. There are a lot, but that doesn't mean they're the ones making the decisions.
Yeah. The thing is what Jim says is, like you said, probably absolutely correct, but I just don't know if that's the guy who should be delivering the message. And like I said, I can pretty much assure that Art wasn't thrilled about that. Just knowing covering his team for a while that Jim Rooney is the first one talking to you. So I understand it's 2 weeks after the season. We have to talk about anything, talk about everything that possibly arises, and the Rooney name attached to it is huge. Well,
when the president's brother goes on the air somewhere and makes an argument for why 10-7 is okay year after year.
Do you have a brother, Mac?
I have a half brother. But
okay, how about if your half brother comes on and talks about how, you know, terrible your podcast is? He doesn't speak for you. What are you talking about?
No, but I have. That's a really bad analogy because we didn't grow up together. We don't share ownership stake in anything.
I'm just telling you. I mean, I'm not like I said, I'm not dismissing the message. I'm just dismissing the messenger.
Okay, fair enough. Again, it is Kabali and Mac. A couple other things I wanted to touch on. Just random stuff. If you want to sponsor the podcast, by all means, you know how to get a hold of us. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on X. Today, we're on Instagram. Real big things.
What about Blue Flame? Is that called something? Blue?
The Blue Flame? The restaurant down on 51? That's a new place. What's it called now? Hold on.
Turnaround Saloon or something?
I don't know.
No. That's up on top of the 51 Large Hill, right?
What did they change the name to?
Still City something or another.
Something like that. I feel bad because I should know.
Still City Grill or Still City whatever?
Yeah. But I've had people tell me it's good.
Huh.
So.
Go to Texas Roadhouse.
Is that the only place you go?
My kid's obsessed with it, so.
I mean, it's good. Oh, I got no problem with Texas Roadhouse.
I like the pork chops.
Steel Grill 51. There we go.
Still something or another.
Stell Grill 51. Okay, so that's the new Blue Flame. No, what are you talking about? Blue Sky. I don't think we're live on Blue Sky. I have a Blue Sky account because like,
what was the most recent one that was supposed to take over X Twitter?
That was Blue Sky, wasn't it?
Oh, that Blue Sky. What was the one before? Threads.
Threads is just the same as Instagram, isn't it?
Now that, that Blue Sky was just a 100% ripoff of Twitter or X. It looked the same. I'm like, it's the same thing.
Yeah, there's way too much.
Way too many.
Too many different social media platforms.
Space.
Found out on social media, that's what we call a segue, that some kid got the $1 million Paul Skeens rookie card. Did you hear about this?
Yes, yes, yes.
An 11-year-old from California, the Topps one-of-one rookie debut patch autograph card. And he now gets the offer from the Pirates, if he wants it, that they made back in May. He would get two Pirate season tickets behind home plate for the next 30 years. Meet and greet with Skeens, two Skeens autographed jerseys, a softball game for 30 people at PNC Park, a private tour of Pirate City and Lecom Park, McKechnie Field, and would get to watch a game from Livy Dunn's box as well with Livy. What are you keeping the card or are you you taking the deal? Deal or no deal, Howie?
Oh, man, I'm taking the card and I'm selling that sucker. I'm going to Golden Auctions right now and say, hey, my brother, sell it.
Maybe
it's never going to be any higher than it is right now, right?
That's true.
Could
get enough in return that you could just buy all that stuff if you wanted to?
What do I want 30 years worth of Pirate tickets for?
I knew this was going to go this way with you.
And not only that is, first of all, they're giving away tickets by June or May. And second of all, who come up with this? A softball game. Woo! Yay!
I mean,
does high school teams play there? Go spend a couple $100 and have your own softball game there at times. What's the other thing here?
Pirate
City. Woo! Yay! I get to meet the... I can't even think of the guy's name who they just traded for, the first baseman.
Yeah.
His name?
Good job by you.
Well, I mean, if you want me to give you this card, give me something worth it, man. Let me, run free agency.
30 years of season tickets aren't enough for you?
Let me run free agency. How about this one? You give me the card, you tell me any free agent, and I'll sign him. Boom.
Okay, so you get to be GM for a day?
GM for a day.
You turn in the Skeens rookie card for that?
If we try to be the Yankees in here, we're going to lose to the Yankees out there.
All right, money.
Sounds ball. Like fortune cookie.
Oh, man.
A wisdom to me there, Billy. That was on after Shawshank, by the way.
Moneyball.
It was on after Shawshank.
Do you stay up and watch it?
A little bit of beginning, Jonah Hill is just a terrible actor in that movie.
What say you, Miss Fuzzy Britches?
I want to yell. What? Such terrible acting.
Three other things I want to touch on before we wrap things up here on Cabali and Mac. Did you see the Nacho goal by the Edmonton Oilers the other night?
Absolutely. Nacho? You mean Nacho?
Somebody threw a tray of nachos onto the ice. And they scored a goal while the pile of nachos was laying on the ice.
I didn't see that. It's a waste of about $25.
Thank you. Who's throwing nachos on the ice? First of all, if these were old Civic Arena Igloo nachos, that would be blasphemy to waste those things. Those things were perfect. I don't know if I've ever had better nachos than Civic Arena nachos with double cheese and some jalapeno peppers sprinkled on top.
Mellon Arena. Nobody even knows what Civic Arena means now.
Shut up. It's Civic Arena.
I saw, what was it? Was it SummerSlam? The old Mick Foley Undertaker match at Civic Arena.
It was Hell in a Cell. It was Hell in a Cell.
I know it was like
June. He was thrown off the top of it. Remember that.
I was right there. I was right there, baby. But I didn't grow up in Baldwin, so I probably couldn't afford to go to Penguin games back when they were in Mellon Arena.
Student rush, buddy. We would drive down from State College to go to games sometimes.
They're going to have to start that up here again. I mean, I guess they are, right? But with seeing how many people were in that stadium, arena, barn.
Any other words you want to throw out there?
Sometimes I refer to...
I like barn.
Yeah. I refer to like other venues as barns. Like head down to Heinz or Acrisure Stadium.
Heinz Field.
Closing up the barn for the year.
Heinz Field. Did you see what Kurt Angle said about the Rikishi stink face?
I
texted it to you. Apparently he got the for those that don't remember, late 90s, early 2000s wrestling, Rikishi, the Usos, he's the Usos' dad, right?
Yeah, it's your dad.
Rikishi had a monumental ass. It was enormous. And he would throw his opponent into the corner, and while they were laying there, he would rub their face right there between both cheeks, given what they called
the old thong on, too.
So Kurt Angle said the other day on the Chris Van Fleet podcast,
which is spectacular. The guy does a hell of a job.
That guy does a great job. That Rikishi once used the bathroom and did not wipe and then gave him the stink face. Do we believe this?
I believe it, but we got to really define what type of poop it was. Was it one of those ones where, you know, the once a year is no wipe necessary type things? You're like, wow, this is great. I don't even need to wipe here. I'll do a courtesy one.
Yeah.
And you don't even need it. Then there's ones, you know, like I was talking a couple months ago on Pat's show where you need the 30, 40 wipes.
Right.
What are we talking about here? I mean, are we talking about the re-wipe, the swamp rear end? It's going
to
depend.
He had to be a little sweaty, first of all, because he's out there running around in the ring. There's some moisture added to whatever was back there.
Yeah, a little Femunda. It's disgusting.
God.
We did that. You know, speaking of that, we used to do that at Bell Vernon. Yeah, football.
What? Shove people's faces in your ass?
No. It was called the Atomic Sit-Up. You know what the Atomic Sit-Up is?
The Atomic Sit-Up? Is that where you do sit-ups while someone's got
holding the towel over your face, and you're trying to push it up as hard as you can. Meanwhile, the guy turns around, and a random guy turns around, sticks his butt
real close to the towel. And then they let go of the towel.
So in Bell Vernon one time, not me. I was just a young
person. No, you would never do that.
Some guy took a deuce and decided not to wipe.
What's wrong with people?
It's ribbon, man. I don't know. I would like to see Rikishi's response. I haven't even looked. Rikishi probably did respond to that.
I haven't seen a response yet.
I saw he did one to who? Lita. That was apparently way back in the day, some sort of punishment towards her. I saw a clip on as well. So either way, I mean, he could have been clean as a whistle, smell like Irish Spring, and I don't want that.
Doesn't matter. I don't want the guy's ass wrapped around my face. No, I'm with you. Just the fact that he would do it with not cleaning himself, like go anywhere, even walking out to the ring without cleaning himself.
The worst part about that, Mac, is Kurt's like, I wasn't mad. What?
Why not?
Yes. I'm going out there and getting him in the old ankle lock or something in the back room.
Yeah.
That's, in the locker room if that happens.
I couldn't believe that when I saw it. Disgusting. One last thing I think we need to bring up, because I talked about things that we shared with each other over the last few days, because it's been a few days since the last Kabali and Mac podcast. You shared this with me earlier this morning. This guy named Christian Wolf on Twitter. This is unsubstantiated. We don't have confirmation of this other than from this guy's Twitter account, X account. Sorry, Elon. He said, "I can't believe what just happened, bro. I just got yelled at over the phone by Pat Narduzzi. Yes, Pitt head coach Pat Narduzzi, because my coworker is an idiot and wrote #WeAre on his receipt." Okay.
I thought you'd enjoy that being a Penn Stater.
I do think it's funny. I also think it's totally on brand of Pat Narduzzi to get illogically and irrationally pissed off about it.
I mean, I haven't followed up on his responses, but did old dudes pick up the phone and call up the restaurant and say, hey, let me talk to so-and-so.
I haven't seen it yet. Him? I don't know.
Unsubstantiated. This is hearsay, I guess.
Right, right. These are all just allegations, right? We always the presumption of innocence here on Kabbali and Mac.
I shouldn't even say this. I'm not going there.
No? Come on. Nobody's listening anyway. Don't worry about it.
Well, I will say one time that during a OTA Steelers practice, somebody in the pit higher ups came and told a reporter there covering the Steelers to remove his West Virginia hat because he was having some guys come over for visits, for high school visits.
Wait, so there was a reporter on the sideline at a Steelers practice or at a Pitt practice?
It was OTA, Steelers practice. But they were bringing some kids through.
And he had this reporter had a West Virginia hat on.
And he was told to take it off.
It was told to take it off because Pitt was bringing people through the facility.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what level it got to of who said this.
Like, why does, and I don't know if it was Pat who issued that decree or
years ago.
Okay. Well, whoever issued that decree, why is there this desire to act like Pitt exists in a vacuum? Like, part of the fun of, if you're a Pitt football fan, I would think, is the rivalry with West Virginia, right? Or the rivalry that some of them still think they have with Penn State, or some Penn State fans feel like they have with Pitt. Like, rivalries are why college sports are so great, especially football. Why would you get mad about a reporter wearing a West Virginia hat?
I don't know. Either. Why are you getting mad if somebody puts "we are"
on a receipt? Yeah. Aren't there bigger things to be worried about? Like, shouldn't you be more worried about work in the portal or, I don't know, a million different things?
Hey, you're the Penn State guy, man. I went to a D2 school. I went to a D2 school that I haven't watched all game play in 25 years, so.
I will give the guy credit. Great move. If you did it on purpose, and I have to think you did. Great move. If you wanted a reaction, you got it. Congratulations. Good job by you.
You know, as we learned here recently, some stuff that's hit the internet, never put anything in writing, man. Don't ever do. I mean, or don't even, in the social media world, if you do something like that, there's a good chance that it might get out there. Maybe he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't,
then he's fine. He just got to rise out of dues. Good for him. Highly recommend the Jerry Springer doc on Netflix, just for background watching, not for like sitting down and dedicating yourself to, but just have it on in the background. Nice little flashback to the late 90s and how ridiculous it was.
Yeah, I've been trying to watch it, but I end up, you know,
it's not one you got to pay close attention to.
This is what I tend to do when TV's on now, Mac. The TV's on and I'm like this.
Yeah.
Real. What am I doing?
That's what we call a second screen experience, Kaboom. Yeah,
my second screen is becoming my first screen.
Come on, man. Follow Mark on X. Pat McAfee Show, Steelers correspondent, also writing for WWE.com, where there's a lot to get to in the next week.
Saturday night main event.
And
big card.
Lead up to the Royal Rumble. A lot going on. We'll have plenty to talk about next week. We'll break it all down and get you ready for the Rumble. And also, we'll have the Super Bowl set at this time next week as well, Kaboom. So that's going to do it for a Thursday edition of Kabbali and Mac. We'll do it a few times again next week if we can find the time. Follow, like I said, both of us on social media. And subscribe to the show on YouTube so you make sure you get it whenever it's ready for you, including when we go live.
Acknowledge me, Mac. Acknowledge me.
All right. There we go. Have a good one, everybody. This has been Kabbali and Mac.